So a little bit about myself. So I'm chairing the App and Cloud Subcommittee, for my day job, I work at Disney. Lead a team of security architects and engineers, and we really provide a lot of cloud advice and information around architecture and secure design, solid software development practices. And then I specialize in cybersecurity, so kind of merging the software and the security worlds with a specific focus on media and entertainment workflows. So previous to Disney, I was at Amazon and Paramount, Viacom for a while. So been in the media and entertainment space for some time. And I'm really keen on this program and providing kind of a single platform for everybody to increase their security. So as Ben mentioned before, the TPM is really an industry-wide initiative. So what we're really looking to do is to just raise the overall security awareness and preparedness of each one of our vendors in the industry. And the main part of this are the app and cloud assessments. So Ben went through some of the details of the TPM website, so all of this information is on there as well. And we're gonna be going through some of the details of that app and cloud assessment portion. So really the main initiatives for this phase two program is really about four tracks. There's a control framework, the actual assessments that are done, the qualified assessor program, and then the TPM assessment database, which houses all of this information. So we'll start off with the control framework. This is kind of the base of this whole program. And what we're doing is we're taking MPAA best practices, we're taking ISO 27001, we're taking PCI, DSS, general best practices for content handling, and kind of integrating them all into a single control framework that this whole app and cloud security program is based off of. And what we're relying on, and is kind of mentioned in a lot of the subcommittee meetings, is we're really relying on our whole community of vendors and providers to provide input into this program. So our foundation for this program, our control framework, is really only as good as the input that we receive from everybody. So we're really looking to make this a community-based effort, and chair of that committee, certainly opening the invitation and welcoming any input that anybody has to really refine that control set and make sure it handles a robust set of security controls and fits the needs of everybody. We all have kind of different workflows and things that might pertain to our particular environment. So it's definitely a large challenge to try to develop a control framework that fits everything, but that's the task at hand and what we're going through. So that's an open invitation. So if anybody wants to get more involved with kind of creation of that control framework, the different domains that we're looking at, please reach out, and there's contact information at the end of the presentation. So based off of that control framework are going to be our assessments and the whole assessment program. So Ben kind of talked about what that process looks like, how to engage and kick off a TPM assessment, and just the whole payment and the assessors and just how that looks like, so I won't go into that as much. But as far as like the cloud program and what's being assessed, what are we looking at? It's fundamentally a little different from site security. So those of you that are familiar with the site security program and have gone through assessments like that, maybe you're a vendor facility or something like that, you're used to a lot of the physical security aspects that they look at when they come through and do their assessment. So we're taking a similar approach, similar framework, but it's all digital. So we're going to be looking at things like how is the infrastructure set up. If we're talking about a cloud environment, obviously you know, everything's software. So it's, instead of your data center, it's in, you know, Amazon, or it's in Google, or it's in Azure. So we're going to be looking at the network layer, you know, any type of NACLs in place, security groups. We're going to look at ingress and egress for those environments, how data and content moves from system to system. You know, then as we move up the stack, you know, from the network environment, you know, we're going to be looking at the app layer and the app levels and how that's constructed. And the control frameworks, even though they do have some overlap, there is kind of a distinct difference between application versus cloud. So, you know, there are some lines where it's blurred, and, you know, we're looking at both sides of that. So for the cloud, it's going to be traditional, you know, systems engineering and infrastructure type of components that we're looking at, databases, things like that. As we move into the app layer, we're looking at you know, the actual construction of the app. We're looking at ports and protocols it uses. We're looking at the security of the app, how it handles everything from input validation to you know, how it interacts with any databases that it might use on the back end. Is it subject to, you know, common types of attacks? So it's kind of like the OWASP top 10 type of things that we're looking at. You know, input validation, SQL injection, cross-site scripting, things like that. So that, coupled with the cloud environment assessment, is going to provide kind of a full picture of this application or this SaaS service, or, you know, whatever's being assessed at the time. So based on that, then that kind of leads us to the third part of this, is the Qualified Assessor Program. So this is a program that will be similar to site security, but really branch off into two other areas, which is, you know, applications and cloud. So it is possible to get, you know, kind of qualified in all three of those areas, where you can perform the site security assessments, you can perform the application assessments and the cloud assessments. But really what we're looking for is, you know, targeted, solid experience in each one of those areas. So that's usually, you know, requires specialized expertise, because when you're assessing an application, you're looking at the internals of that, how that's constructed. You know, that's more of a software engineering discipline, whereas, you know, the cloud assessment piece is more of an infrastructure or systems engineering discipline. And those are, you know, even though they work together, they're really kind of separate technical tracks. And to develop the type of expertise required to properly assess something, that obviously takes, you know, years of experience. So I'm sure there'll be some highly qualified individuals that can, you know, do multiple tracks, and that's awesome, and we're definitely looking for that. But we are kind of expecting, you know, people will probably pick a particular track that they're most comfortable with based on their background. And so this Qualified Assessor Program is to really raise the bar and the level of quality for our assessors that are coming in. So it's not just going to be an easy, you know, multiple choice type of thing where they can look up answers. The test, I won't say certification test, but the, you know, test that qualifies you to be an assessor in that track will be, you know, very in-depth and really test your skills and knowledge to prove that you understand that environment, because the last thing we want to do is reduce the quality of the program by sending out people that maybe wouldn't be qualified to assess an application in detail and go through all the different levels, or same thing for you know, cloud environments. So we want people with actual hands-on experience and being able to demonstrate that within the testing program that's going to be implemented for that. And then the last part of this is the TPN assessment database, which kind of houses all of this information, you know, the vendor roster, all of the assessments that have been completed. There'll be this search functionality where you can look up status on a particular assessment, whether it's in flight or you know, has been completed. You can look at previous assessments, you know, and just all of the information and metadata around the assessment that was completed. All of these are currently in development, and like I said, we're really relying on the community to help out with that. So if you have you know, input that you would like to provide for any one or all of these programs, we're definitely all ears, and we would really like to take that to heart and integrate it into the program, because this whole program can only be successful, with all of you and your input, and we really want it to be kind of a one-stop shop and a source for quality and security and, risk mitigation. So our objectives for each of these things, for this whole app and cloud security program, is really based on the control framework, based on the assessments, the quality of our assessors, our TPM database that houses all of this. The whole goal of this is really because we want you to be able to leverage these third-party apps, these cloud environments, these SaaS solutions with confidence, and know that if it has that logo that TPN has looked at this, you can really trust that they've really put it through its paces. They've looked at it, from top to bottom, and there's solid reports and information that you can take in as potential consumer of this application or service to really facilitate a good risk-based decision. So. It's not a rubber stamp of approval or anything, but it's really giving you the tools and the information you need, and breaking down, just the security of this application or platform so that you have the confidence that you can make the right decisions to, if this is something you want to trust your data and your content with. A second objective for this is really just standardizing these app and cloud assessments. I think in our various companies, we've all gone through this process where, to bring on a new application or vendor, they've got to be vetted, and the standards are kind of all over the place, and, Warner Brothers is assessing things at a certain level, Sony's doing it different over here, Disney's doing it different over here. So what we want to do is, we're all kind of been reinventing the wheel all separately, so this is a chance to get together, kind of take the cream of the crop, the best of breed stuff, and really standardize on the control framework and assessment framework that works for everybody. So it's very comprehensive, and it takes the onus off of the individual studios or companies for developing out super solid content security and information security programs, and you can leverage some of the resources of the TPN instead, so that you know that this has been looked at by the community, everybody's bought in, and that you can really trust the quality of things. And by standardizing things and having just this single entity that's kind of running this framework, this ensures that we have consistent and secure content handling. So for those of you that are content producers or deal in content, that's a big worry of ours is, will your content get leaked if I use this application or this platform? Are they handling it securely on the back end? Do I have to worry about encryption in transit, at rest, things like that? So, the TPN will have put that application vendor or that SaaS provider or that cloud provider through their paces and kind of ensured and provide it information to you so you can look at that and see if that meets your individual company's requirements. And then the goal of all of this is, again, just protecting systems from cybersecurity risks. So we want to ensure, content's being handled properly. We want to ensure the systems we use are protected from risks. In the news, like constantly, there's all of these articles about hacking. Facebook just got hacked recently, 50 million accounts compromised. So it's like we're under a constant barrage of like attacks from like all different angles, state actors all the way down to individuals. So having this whole program in place and knowing that there's this whole engine of quality security assessments and assessor program. That's out there looking at the tools and applications that we all use, that really improves our confidence level, that when we do purchase an app, we go through all the work to, go through the legal contracts, procurement, bring it in-house. We know that once we start loading it up with our our company's most valuable data and assets that we can trust that that will be kept securely. And then all of the attestations, all of the reports, all of the things that are presented to you as artifacts of this whole assessment process is to really empower you guys to facilitate your risk-based technology decisions. So it's not that the TPN just puts their stamp of approval on there and you can just, you know, take a vacation, you don't have to worry about it. There's still, you know, maybe individual security requirements that pertain to your company or your company's policies that you have to comply with, and you have to make that decision of, you know, of the things I saw in this report, you know, the vulnerabilities or the security of the system, you know, am I comfortable with, you know, bringing this vendor on? Because what may work for, you know, some companies might not work for others. So, you know, in our case at Disney, when we're dealing with Lucasfilm, you know, they're super, super secure, very paranoid about security, you know, really locking things down. And because they're, the content that they produce and provide is really, you know, it's desirable by, you know, all kinds of different people from all walks of life. So they're constantly under attack with people trying to get access to, you know, plot lines, character abilities, all this kind of stuff for these movies coming out. So obviously they have a much more tight, you know, security posture and risk profile that they're willing to accept versus, you know, maybe broadcast TV or something where the assets are, you know, shorter lived and it's not as a big a deal if it was leaked. So our goal is to provide you all the information you need so that you can make the correct decision and ensure that, you know, the security of these systems work for you. So here's the roadmap. There's a lot going on, I gotta be honest. This really maps back to those four tracks I talked about at the beginning. So we're, you know, simultaneously we're working on the assessments, we're working on the control framework, the qualified assessor program, the database that houses all of this, and, you know, currently we're working on really that control framework is like the key piece. That's like the keystone that all of this is kind of based off of. So our goal for that is to, you know, draft these initial application security controls, draft the cloud controls, kind of publish that 1.0 standard with input from our community members. We're also going to be publishing a whole revisions framework and feedback process so that you guys can, you know, have a framework and a methodology for providing input into that and updating controls as need be. So the control framework will be, you know, kind of a living entity that will, you know, grow and be revised over time. So we want to make sure we have a great feedback loop for getting information back from you guys. Hey, so
I'm just going to add one thing. One useful byproduct of the assessment process. We're building out all of the framework where these assessments can be performed consistently wherever in the world they are, what type of environment is being assessed. But the assessment report for most of the program just says the tool application environment is capable of being implemented in a way that is secure. Just because it's been assessed doesn't mean that every single deployment for that technology is robust. So one of the byproducts of the assessment is the configuration white papers, the secure configuration white papers, and they will be made available to service providers that are enrolled in the program, to content owners. So if I want to deploy secure file transfer to Y on environment, on-prem or cloud environment X, this is the recommended, in the context of this assessment, this is the recommended way to deploy and configure that technology. So there will be elements of the output of the assessments that are tangible and usable by anybody in this community. The technical assessment is pretty dense.
So that would be something like CSI benchmarks?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. They're intended to be, there may be multiple versions. It could be a really high level one pager. Actually, Keith's already been making a start producing a number of these, so we have a pretty good.
Okay. That's a good point. You see that a lot with like the cloud providers. So like just because a cloud provider's been assessed and, you know, looked at, doesn't mean that your implementation on top of that is, you know, secure. So just because you're using, you know, AWS or Azure, or, you know, you deploy their AMIs for web servers, doesn't mean you've configured it in a way that it won't get hacked. So that's and they talk about that a lot, just kind of where the security responsibility lies. Like the cloud provider is responsible for like kind of the infrastructure level, the physical security. You don't have to worry about whether they have cameras on their data centers, but what you do have to worry about is, you know, when you deploy their images, their instances, their VMs, you know, how are you configuring that in a way that follows best practices? And that's where a lot of the configuration guidelines come into play. So it's like, you know, if you do want to implement a high-speed file transfer system in the cloud that does ultra-fast UDP-based file transfer acceleration, you can't just install the application, click next, 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 finish, and you're good, because you installed it on, you know, Azure, and, you know, Azure's been approved. So that there'll be some guidelines very specific to the cloud provider and the application to show you how you can easily implement that in a secure manner.
So actually,
that'll map back to the control thing.
Yeah, so there's the convergence then of track one, of phase one and phase two, is a qualified assessor is at a vendor facility and they're checking their physical security controls, their management controls, their basic network digital environment controls. And then they're also then able to check the configuration of the technologies they're using to store and process content. And that's where these two, the configuration criteria that assessor would be verifying is based on the output of this program. So then you can see that point where those two phases intersect.
Question. So does that mean you need, because you were talking about earlier having, you know, an assessor that's really more geared towards that one track, on-prem, app, or cloud. So does that mean multiple assessors will need?
No, so the individuals that perform the assessments and produce the white papers, that's one skill set, that's track two.
The on-prem relies on those.
Yeah, they just go through the configuration white paper and
making
and
sure.
And have a measure of compliance.
Okay.
On the white papers and configuration, it seems to me there's sort of two versions of white papers. One is the application themselves and how they're deployed on Azure or AWS or whatever. But then there's also the client using that software, that application, and being properly configured as well. Are you looking at white papers on both levels? Do you see what I mean? That there's the software needs to be properly configured where they're built and deployed, and then the client needs to properly configure their settings when they're using the application.
Right.
So are you conceiving white papers at both those levels? Are they more in for one than the other?
I mean, I think, you know, you can't really make up for experience and quality of the person. So obviously they'll have to be a base level of like technical experience of that person. So we wouldn't really go into, you know, how to deploy a web server, but we would call out specific security controls and ways to harden that for a given use case, and that would be part of the white paper. So it wouldn't be like an installation guide. We would assume you would just rely on the vendor's material, you know, Apache, IIS, whatever, to, you know, configure that. But then we're gonna take out just the security components that are most often exploited, kind of low hanging fruit, things to always be aware of, and, you know, build that into the white paper.
Yes, so a good example, just quickly, is if vendor X wants to deploy a cloud based render solution in AWS, there would be this crit sheet that.
Just to add from one particular vendor point of view, you know, we do feel that it is incumbent upon us as a solution provider or an application provider to build on that guidance. So, you know, we will take that foundation and create customized configuration guidance for specific workflows. So whether it's burst rendering or editorial or asset management or file transfer, you know, whatever it is, we're going to build not only the guidance that aligns to these control sets, but, you know, tools that will automate that deployment, because, you know, it's it's important for us to make the customers' lives easier and, you know, not be figuring out what am I supposed to do with all these things now.
And it drives adoption of the platform as well.
Another question, sort of coming out of the guidelines that we've been preparing, and they've been aimed at producers, right? So a producer trying to decide on which dailies platform to use, and they go to DPN and they're reading the different assessment reports. Just knowing from our educated group working on it, and we have some paragraphs in our guidelines that radio silence on the call, like no one could actually answer the question. And this was a group of experts, not your average producer. So is there gonna be any, I mean, reading these assessments from a producer's point of view, it's gonna be a lot of gobbledygook. This is quite different than a facility where I can understand cameras and locks and stuff, but understanding software is...
So it's a fine line. We're trying, the way I've been writing some of the white papers so far is, not super, super deep, but you know, it kind of lays a foundation first of here's an overview of the solution, here's the main components, here's a description of each component and what it is and what it does in kind of layman's terms. And then it starts to get a little more technical and a little more technical, and then shows you how to implement that, gives you examples, and then there's a references section for if you really want to get in the details, it'll point you to, you know, all the available resources online and the resources that were used to write that, you know, white paper. So that, you know, if you want to know exact command lines and, you know, deep dives into a certain process, it's there for you. So it's kind of like, you know, it ramps up slowly and then gets more technical.
Participation in the TPN work groups is essential. We need feedback on, are we producing the right type of materials? Are they accessible, digestible? Maybe we won't achieve that 100% in phase one, but...
I keep like a hopper of like papers, and it's like and soliciting feedback is like the greatest thing. So like working with production groups at all levels, VFX, editorial, etc. You know, hearing their challenges, and then once I hear that like more than once or twice, it's like, all right, well that needs to be a white paper. And so I kind of, you know, so the feedback loop is very important for producing documents that people actually want to use.
I have a question about the training, both the assessor training. And you touched on the earlier the more advanced training for the representative from the vendor. How similar are those going to be? And like, say I'm the representative from my company. Could I do that training? But could I also do the assessor training? Because you talked about, you know, I'd be acting as an advisor, not as assessing my own company. Obviously.
Yes, that question has actually come up a few times. Is there the opportunity to be certified as a qualified assessor, but you're not in the public pool, but you're just basically, you understand the framework, you understand the methodology, the testing criteria, but you operate as a consultative service within your own company. You will have these different classes of qualified assessor in the future, where just you go through the process, you get the certificate, but you're not able to service assessments for the general community, just within your own company.
So that's being considered?
Yeah.
Okay. We haven't done it.
It's
a good idea.
Really big to-do list.
It's
in there somewhere, I promise.
Yeah.
One more question. When you're dealing with software, there's just core security, but then there's that application's SLA and what they're marketing as they're providing X. Is the assessment going to be in any way comparative or whatever to what they're actually saying they're providing?
From like the standpoint of
just,
performance?
I mean, we've all done POCs,
yeah.
And sometimes in the POC you realize that what the marketing materials say and what the software does are two different things. And in an assessment, is there going to be any correlation between the software the cloud application, their SLA/marketing materials versus
I don't think we've baked that in. I mean, it's certainly potentially something we could consider. I don't think it's in the plan currently, but it's a quite a little bit more of a user-friendly capability.
Yeah.
Study.
Yeah. Just to understand that they're. I mean, it's so much more amorphous. You know, there are all these dailies platforms, and there's slight differences between each one, and there's a reason to choose one over another for your particular production.
We have a track within the platform development that we're referring to as Yelpification. And we're trying to make
Yelpification.
Angie's
List, Yelpification.
Trying to make these analogies accessible, but we're trying to make the service provider profiles not only helpful for the content owner, but also for the service provider to sell their services, their capability, upload photos of the team, not just I am vendor X located at this address and I provide these 12 services and here's my compliance rating. How do we make it a little bit, you know, make that database a marketplace where content owners can actually learn a little bit about who the service provider is and what they do. So maybe that could intervene. So, yeah.
How will phase two rollout affect current assessments or assessments that will already have been completed? So there's the annual assessments. So phase two rollout releases all these white papers. Are you now marked as just not assessed based off of those newly released white papers on your?
So we're actually looking at in that vendor portal.
Mm-hmm.
So you sign in when you're either getting ready to undertake your first assessment or you're maintaining your assessment status. We're looking at options to tag, create a little mini inventory. When I'm handling client content, I use this app hosted on this environment. It's really high-level information. That would allow us to flag in a future state a implementation assessment of that tech.
you've been assessed, if like there's an update to the control framework, you're not necessarily invalidated.
It just means when you get reassessed, those
we know to look at that.
Yeah. And actually, that's another when we get into Cyril's track, using Guardian's community to changes to the control requirements occur mid-year, just so it isn't a complete surprise. When
right.
We re-up, we'll have a broadcast mechanism. Quite like presidential text. something along those.
You're all with the good references today,
right?
Top four. Thank you.
A couple of questions.
Sure.
I don't get too much in the weeds here, but are you going to maintain an approved software class?
No
apps have been
approval.
Checked
right.
Based
Fair
on what white paper implementation?
Apps and environments have undertaken an assessment, yes.
You will have that list of
assessment, yeah, database.
In the TPN database.
Yeah.
But again, it's at the content owner or the user's discretion to determine whether that compliance status equates to approval in there.
So we can show you the applications we've assessed. You can look at the report, but it's up to you to approve it for use within your company. You still have to make that risk-based decision.
Will that include cloud service providers as well?
It's more workflow-oriented, so there wouldn't be a broad Azure has been assessed. It would be in the context of a cloud render environment.
Yeah.
Here's
okay.
The white paper, this is the environment that we assess.
And all vendors that sign up will have access to that, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
We're working out as how that information is presented. We want to empower the service provider community to leverage that information. Exactly how that occurs is certainly the TV.
So if we're undergoing our assessment and we use a tool already been assessed, then we reference that, and then the assessor would look at our implementation of that.
The tool would immediately present you with the configuration white paper.
Okay.
During even your preparatory phase.
But then as far as the assessment phase, they're not going to be reassessing that tool because it's already been assessed.
Right.
They're just going to be assessing our implementation of that tool, and then that will sort of roll up to the content owner. Okay, this is the tool, it's rated this. This is, we're using that tool, and this is how we rate it.
That's the plan. Yeah, in that compliance report, so it's a vendor X, you know, they've met all of they compliant all of the management control requirements and such and so forth. They have an implementation of this file transfer tool and it's compliant with our integration requirements.
Okay.
it's going to be relatively basic in its first iteration, but that's the one.
I'm checking. I know that.
It sounds amazingly more automated and more simple.
So. No. Yeah, we're trying to, that automation is, that's everything we're doing is coming from this automation.
So there's one
similar to recommending other content producers to the TPM world, recommending technology providers to the TPM world, very similar process, I would imagine.
Yeah,
does that already exist right now?
We're not for the phase two. I think it's today. And so that initial announcement of phase two. But certainly for phase one, if you go to the website, you can submit a request to find the site security assessment, and there will be that.
Oh, no, no. I meant recommending technology vendors to be a part of the TPN community as a whole, right? So they need to go out and get their technology assessed.
Yes.
So that they can.
That request process will be through the website.
Gotcha. Okay.
Yeah. Well, both, I don't know. If on one hand, they can participate in our tech committee if they want to be part of helping us shape the program.
Building the framework. Right.
And if they actually want to undertake an assessment, they would go to the website and say,
same way.
Hey,
are you looking at cloud services that don't necessarily hold streaming content, but you know, all our accounting is in the cloud, legal now runs in the cloud. Are these included in the...
Well, storage of data, I mean, we haven't yet forecast how we might be able to put in just general data security or regulatory compliance controls into the framework, but it's something we would like to do. But certainly just the storage of confidential data in a cloud environment would be subject to assessment and a configuration of it.
Yeah, so like the entertainment partners, the cast and crew, all that kind of stuff, yeah, we're looking at their cloud-based apps. So I think we're running short on time, but...
You mentioned, you know, that you wouldn't assess Azure, but what if a new cloud is being introduced to the digital media community? Could you assess that?
Yes, there is like a baseline level that will look at that. Like, we're not going to go to their facility and, you know, run through it and everything, but there's like the SOC 1, SOC 2, FedRAMP, there's all of these.
Yeah, if there was,
you know,
FedRAMP approval, would you
right,
to
there's
assess?
All of these baseline, you know, assessments and compliance, you know, so as long as they had those pieces in
place.
Again,
we would assess the capability to perform a distinct service.
On top of
so whether it's a, you know, a direct connect, have a configured direct connect into a private cloud environment, or the rendering capability or transcoding capability. The assessment would be modeled around those workflows or those use cases, rather than just a broad assessment of what it can do.
Right.
Yeah.
Good luck.
And
Firefox
has some things that don't, you know, ISO's not covering, CSA's not covering because they're so specific to us, you know, your encryption while streaming and, you know, all the different kinds of encoding and codecs and all this that doesn't fit into their standards that apply to everybody. Are we trying to build that into this?
So I mean, we'll list out
that are very specific to our industry?
We'll list out the capabilities, we'll list out for this particular workflow, these are the items that were assessed, this is encryption address was assessed, in transit was assessed, this is what we found, and, you know, provide that to you, and then it's up to you to say, yes, that's going to be adequate for me or not. So whatever we look at, we'll definitely go in that assessment before then you can make that decision.